Previously on Ruling on Fate.
So, can we chat about these dreams you've been sending me? We followed the directions to a secret cave in the mountains, and it wasn't easy to get inside. But thankfully, Nortrude is good at riddles magic. But here's where I'm confused. This cave is all about the elemental planes. There's fancy murals all over the walls. And we even got a necklace from a fire elemental, which apparently can close a fire elemental rift. But you're not from the elemental plane, are you? Also, why was Paylor's symbol on one of the murals? It was on a pyramid by palm trees or something. What does that mean? These cryptic dreams and symbols you show me are fun and all, but I'd like to know what's actually going on. Why are you leading me around this plane? Yes, I know we have to figure out these rifts, but why? What is causing all these rifts between planes? It's gotta be something pretty bad, right? If you're withholding information from me, why? Curses. That annoying necromancer just showed up again. So I may need your help in a minute. Seeing how they just opened a rift to the Shadowfell.
This is Beth, and I play Ainsley.
Hey, this is Jacob, and I'm everyone's third favorite sea elf, Peleus the Lucky.
My name is Kit, and I play Taylor Grangers.
Hi, I'm Erin, and I play Nortrude the Research Mage.
I'm Garrett, and I'll be playing Marion Kine.
I'm Jen, and I play Fanula.
And I'm Matt, your DM. A lanky, hooded figure walks into the archway, and you all hear...
My master will be pleased.
All of you can see this figure, and with the firelight that's dancing and casting shadows, you can make out some features on this person's face. It's scaled, with one black eye and one red eye.
I point at him and say, "You!"
Thank you all for opening the way and... revealing this information for us. I will be taking that necklace, and we have no further use for you.
And then you all hear the familiar ear-splitting sound and a tear to the Shadowfell rifts opens once again.
You guys are now facing the archway. It is opening just off to the right side of that archway, and it's the same typical size that you saw in Landorin. It's floating still like 10 to 15 feet above the ground, like the very center of the rift, and it still has the same tendrils that are coming out, and it's got the inky sort of shadow that's in the dead center of it, like the mirage effect that's happening. And he's standing directly in the archway. And now that you're looking at him and looking at the archway, you can see that he's holding a small staff. It's about maybe like two feet long. It's hard to make out sort of like specific details about the staff, but it's this sort of like black staff, and it seems to be like emanating this sort of like darkness that's around his hand. And you can see all of his visible skin is all dragon scale. It's this dark black dragon scale. But then you also see these maroon lines that cover his body in sort of these random streaks, pattering all throughout, even on his face. I will give you all, like I did in the very first episode, an instantaneous reaction right now before things happen. It's basically like game is paused at this moment.
How close am I to him?
Oh, right. Let's figure out where people are. So I know Ainsley is right at the fire because she...
she didn't move at all after she got the necklace.
I'm putting you 5 feet to the right of the fire. Marion was on his way out, so I'm going to actually put him like right in front of Amesley, just 10 feet in front of Amesley. And the rest of you are all on the back wall, as far as I know, because none of you said otherwise. Taylor, you weren't really there at the very back scene. Do you have an envision of like where you were sort of in this room?
I'd say be by the fire, kind of just watching.
Okay. I'm going to put you behind the fire, so like the fire is in between you and the archway. So you're also like 5 feet away from Amesley as well.
As long as I'm not under the rift. Yeah.
No one's under the rift this time.
Please do not jump into the rift, Marion.
Peleus, Manuela, and Nortrude were all on the back wall. You three are roughly 90 to 95 feet away from the hooded figure in the archway. The Shadowfell Rift is 15 feet away from the hooded figure, diagonally, like in front to his left. So actually the Shadowfell Rift from Marion, the very center of it is 30 feet basically away from you, Marion. And you're 40 feet away from the hooded figure. At this point in time, let's go ahead and roll initiative, but because he was talking and the Shadowfell Rift is opening, it's I think you can tell now with that rod in his hand, he had like almost like pointed it in the direction while he was talking. You can tell that the rod created that Shadowfell Rift. I will give you all an instantaneous reaction. So let's go ahead and roll initiative right now.
I rolled a 14.
I have a 5.
I have a 13. I didn't roll that great.
You rolled better than my 2.
I have an 18.
I have 19.
21.
21.
What?
Okay, so we're
going last.
Okay, I will basically give you guys one action or one bonus action or 15 feet of your movement, your choice. Taylor, one instantaneous reaction.
I'm going to cast Zephyr Strike on myself.
Okay, Nortrude, one instantaneous reaction.
Okay, well, I'll move forward so I'm within range of my other spells, because that's a good strategy.
Okay. So I'm going to put you 15 feet forward. You're 75 feet away from the Necromancer. Peleus, one instantaneous reaction.
I wanted to cast Zephyr Strike on myself, but apparently I can't do that, and the healer's already done it, so that's not nearly as fun. I'm just going to move 15 feet forward.
Cool. Marion Kind.
Oh, I'm rushing the motherfucker.
All right, you're moving. Okay. Put you there. Now 25 feet away from the Necromancer and 10 feet away from the center of the rift. Amesley.
I would like to switch to my pistol and shoot a disarming shot and try to make him lose his rod.
Ooh. Nice.
You're going to shoot him in the rod?
I am going to shoot him in the rod.
I appreciate that.
Take notes, Peleus.
I'm the rod person, all right? He's got one. I've got two. I'm disappointed.
Who's is bigger?
I know. We'll have to find out.
Booyah! That is a great roll. Okay, let me see what I got total. 25.
25 to hit. Definitely hits. Yes, it definitely hits this Necromancer.
Okay, so he's going to take the damage, but then he's got to roll against my saving throw to before he loses his weapon.
Okay. What's your DC?
That was 14.
So he rolled a natural 20.
Son of a bitch! I'm never going to succeed at one of these things.
Okay, but how much damage does he take?
Any chance I get sneak attack? Didn't you say Taylor was close to me as well?
Oh, that is right. Taylor is... Yeah, he's diagonally 5 feet away from you. Yeah, so roll sneak attack damage. Pack tactics!
Woohoo! 19 points of damage.
19.
Wow.
Cool.
Is he dead?
So you shift over to your pistol and fire it. It hits him dead center chest. And you see him do a little bit of a recoil. And as he stands back up, you can see there's a bloody mess within his, like, black robes and scales that are there. It's like you did sort of a significant portion of damage to him. Fenuela, last in order.
I'm
you get one instantaneous reaction.
Going to point at him and yell, "You!" while I cast Eldritch Blast.
Okay, Eldritch Blast.
16.
You miss. Whoosh. The Eldritch Blast impacts into the wall above his head, maybe destroying some of the beautiful artwork that's there.
And do the rocks fall on his head, knocking him out?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, worth a shot.
Now, you all hear some other sort of familiar sounds. And out of the rift, shambles and trips and falls, 10 zombies. out of the center of the rift. And they don't have any like form of direction. They're just sort of like all spreading out from the center point of this rift, just sort of like surrounding it now. And then you hear two other sounds. And you hear a thud as what seems to be some sort of giant creature falls out of the rift. And you can see this giant gray mass with its skin sloughing off. And you can see rotting muscle and tissue underneath. And it looks like a giant ogre, which is 15 feet tall and has just massive body size and arms and legs. Picture like tree trunks for legs. And you hear then one more sound. And another familiar figure leaps out of the rift off of all fours. You guys fought this in your first undead combat. It is a single ghoul jumps out of the rift.
Is that the one that makes people paralyzed?
Yes.
God damn it.
Those of you now remember that.
Marion, stay away from it.
Oh, I only got one ghoul here.
Marion, the closest zombies are 5 feet away from you, and the giant orc is 10 feet away from you. And he's also, by the way, he's carrying this giant morning star that is just dripping in guts and like weird fleshy things. It's just like, it seems like it's a metal thing. It just looks like he recently attacked something with it, maybe. Who knows? And the ghoul is on the other side of him, farther away from you, an additional 10 feet. So the ghoul is 20 feet away from you. We're now going to go into real combat. Taylor, with your 21. You get to go first. Full turn.
I'm going to move to intercept the orc. And if I can, is the tree trunk legs within 5 feet of the ghoul or perhaps a zombie?
He's 10 feet away from any zombie or ghoul.
Okay. Yeah, I got 60 feet of movement to play with right now. So I'm kind of tempted to run towards the necromancer, but I also feel like there's other pressing concerns. I'm going to move to where I'm on the outer range of my whip from the orc, and I'm just going to attack him.
So you move 20 feet, and then the orc is 20 feet away from you.
I'm going to use Zephyr Strike to give myself advantage on this attack.
Okay.
All right, and so that is a 17 to hit.
Yep, definitely hits.
Okay. And then come in with the d4 of slashing, d6 of poison, and extra d8 of force damage, because I'm a baller.
Okay.
A big ol' 5 slashing damage, plus 4 poison damage.
Okay.
And 8 force damage.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. It seems like your whip did normal damage, but it seems like maybe the poison really is not affecting it as much as you thought it would.
Can I use the remainder of my movement to move back? Just like another 10 feet back. I don't need to like dance around like a quickling.
Okay.
That's all I got.
The necromancer, seeing all of you, he points out with the rod this time over Marion's shoulder. And you can see this little black bead flies out, lands at the base of the fire in between Amesley and Taylor, and detonates in this necromantic sphere.
Not this again.
Both of you need to roll dex save.
God, why'd I move back?
Oh, actually, Marion, you're on the very edge of this. You also need to roll a dex save.
All right, an 18 total.
A 10 total.
I'm going to use my reaction and shield master if I can to negate the damage if I pass the saving throw.
So I'll let you like get behind your shield if you save.
I got a 17.
Okay, you save. You and Amesley both save. Marion does not, but Amesley, you still take half damage.
No, I need to stop having this happen.
No damage. Marion, you take 13 points of damage, and Amesley, you take 6 points of damage. And then you see him. There's sort of like zombies that are standing right next to him. You see him whip out with his left hand and grab one of the zombies. And then you just see it like, especially Marion, because you're right there. You just see that zombie just fade into ash. And then the wound that was in his chest seems to sort of just heal a little bit. All the blood and stuff is still there. He looks like he regained some health from that zombie.
Frick, he's absorbing the zombies.
Not as much as he wanted to, though.
Yay.
And he looks like he is staring you down, Marion, and he's got the rod in one hand, and he is not moving from where he's at. Up next, Nortrude, your turn. There is now this giant sphere of necrotic energy that both Amesley and Taylor is in the center in. Basically where that fire is now being engulfed by this sort of like heat wave necrotic energy that's radiating out. Even in this cavern, especially since the fire was there, the lights are now going even dimmer because of this sphere where it's hitting the ground. It's not like it seems to be affecting the stone as much, but you can see just sort of like its energy and like waves that are just like coming off the stone. You are 10 feet away from the edge of this necrotic sphere. It's got a 20-foot radius sphere on it. What would you like to do?
Well, what are our priorities as a group?
Not die? Is that one?
If I want to cast Dragon's Breath on B, how...
Yeah!
I love this idea so much.
Chipmunk bears death. He can, like, run around, right? So
yeah, so he moves okay, cool. on your turn. He's got a speed of 30 as well.
If I go 30 feet forward, you said I was, like, 10 feet away from the edge of the weird necrotic energy.
Yeah,
I
can you will be in it. So you'll have to go around it, and you can choose to go around the left side or the right side.
Okay.
If you're looking at it, if you go around the left side, you know that you'll meet up with Marion if you go that way and like basically where Taylor is.
Don't forget to high five me as you go by.
If you go around the right side, that is where Amesley is, but it's also where the ghoul and ogre and zombies and stuff are. So
okay. We'll go towards the left side.
Okay, so you're going to go around towards Marion.
And high five Marion.
You won't be able to get to Marion, or at least you won't. Maybe B will.
Air five.
So, Nortrude, you are on the side of the necrotic sphere right now.
Yes.
And now you can send out B if you wish.
Yes. Go forth, B, and attack.
30. B will get to Marion, but will... Well, depends on your whatever breath weapon you want to do. But you can infuse B right now, and I think B can act right now. B is on the right of Marion's. The 15-foot cone will hit half the zombies... plus the necromancer guy, or it can hit the ogre and half the zombies, and Marion would be also on the edge of that.
I just imagine B like hopping up onto Marion's shoulder and
he
just,
can also
like,
do that. He's a erupting. Familiar. Yeah, he can also. I'll give you that option too. He can hop up on Marion and then hit the ogre and zombies too if he wishes.
Nice.
Yes, B is going to do that, and he will give Marion a teeny tiny high five.
Nice.
The tiniest
of high
fives.
In the sphere, did he get out?
He's on the very edge of the sphere. It's like erupting and it's hitting him. B won't take damage because that was just like the initial burst of damage. Plus also B only has like 2 hit points, so B would die. So I don't want to do that. So.
Don't kill B.
He will come back to life and haunt you. So.
Yeah, you just summon him again.
Oh.
Yeah.
I am a glorious steed to ride into battle, just so you know.
As far as what medium of destruction I'm going to choose, probably lightning.
Cool. Lightning's going to look fucking awesome.
Nice.
Jen, start illustrating this. ASAP.
ASAP.
That would be an adorable photo.
They need to roll dexterity saving throws. So I'm going to do one for the zombies and one for the ogre. Dex is not their favorite thing, so here it is for the ogre, 11 minus 2, he's going to fail. And for the zombies, they rolled a natural 2,
yay,
they're going to all
victory.
Take full damage. So go ahead and roll your 3d6 of lightning damage.
Big money.
It was fairly small money. Do I add them all up? I got two
yep.
twos and a 3, so 7.
Okay, 7 points of lightning damage. Okay, the orc looks like it takes that full damage. And it looks like you hit about 4 zombies in that cone, and 2 of them just incinerate in the lightning, and the other 2 look really bad off.
You mean worse than being zombies?
Yeah, they look like they're falling apart even more. the ogre guy, he still looks like he's going pretty strong. Peleus, it is your turn.
It is indeed. I'm trying to figure out the math to see how close I can get to the necromancer.
You can move 20 feet forward to your right, basically behind Amesley, and get line of shot 60 feet to the necromancer. Or you can move your full 30 feet of movement and get closer to Taylor's side of the sphere, mm-hmm. like basically 15 feet away from Nortrude, and you would be directly on the edge of the sphere, 60 feet away from the necromancer.
Let's go with that one, because I want to be further away from the ghoul if I can.
Yeah, the other way is in line of shot of the ghoul.
Great. That sounds like a good time.
Peleus, you're there. Okay, what
Yay!
Are you doing?
Yay, I'm there now. I'm just going to take a nap. I'm just going to
hang
out. Sounds I'm kidding. Good. I want to cast Cloud of Daggers right on the necromancer.
Ooh, that's a fun one.
Daggers. All right, does he need to save?
Nope. He's just going to take damage when it's his turn again.
Oh, okay. Remind me. When it's his turn. Okay.
I'll do my best. I'll just start yelling as soon as you start say anything.
Dagger, dagger, dagger.
There's four daggers in his face.
Okay. Peleus, that's your turn, unless you have anything special to do.
Ooh. How beat up does Marion look to me?
Reasonably beat up. His back is a little shredded.
Ouch.
There's a little, probably like holes in his armor where the necrotic damage has eaten through it, and you can see what would be not skin. Yeah,
are you out of your own healing spells by now?
At this point, there are no more healing spells. Even if, with what I have left, there are no more healing spells. There is only radiant death.
Perfect. That's the best kind, right?
The time for mercy has ended. Now is the hour of the black sun.
Up next is Marion.
Cool. There's nobody in front of me, right?
No, nobody's in front of you. There,
okay.
It's dead space for 20 feet and then the necromancer. There are zombies a little bit off to the side and the orc, which is 10 feet away from you, to your right.
All right, so Marion's going to unleash his best Avenged Sevenfold from City of Evil Scream. And from behind, you're just going to hear, and you are going to see a burning halo kind of charge up and then evoke around his head, and you're going to see him whip out the flail, which is going to start burning with flame, and he is going to complete his trek over to the necromancer.
Okay, you're going to move 20 feet to the necromancer.
Yep.
The orc, since he is a very large creature, he does have a reach of 10 feet, so he is going to get a reaction to attack you as you leave his zone of control.
All right, AC is 16.
Yeah, he hits you.
All right.
So you guys see the morning star that this orc was just holding up at the ready. And as Marion leaves his space, he whips down with his right arm pretty fast for this massive, large creature, slams it down the back of Marion. Marion, you take...
Well, this might not last very long, folks.
You take 16 points of damage.
All right.
As the morning star glazes down the back of you as you run forward.
But I need to make a concentration check for it.
So you need to beat a 10?
15.
Sweet.
All right.
Concentration's still going.
All right. I'm actually going to use my channel divinity as well.
Cool.
So I'm going to get plus 10 to whatever roll this happens to be. So that will be a 26 to hit.
Yeah. The necromancer, definitely. That hits.
All right. He will take weapon damage as well as 2d6 fire damage. At the start of his next turn, he'll have to make a DC 13 constitution saving throw. 6 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
And 7 points of fire damage.
Okay. Is it radiant fire or just fire?
Just fire.
Okay. So 13 total.
He is on fire right now.
Remind me.
He'll take 1d6 fire damage until he makes a save.
Okay. Marion.
Mm-hmm.
As you attack him with your flail, and it solidly connects to him, and it looks like he's taking full damage, but then there is an outward blast from him, and you feel this icy cold rip into your flesh. You straight up take 10 points of damage.
All right, I'm down.
Oh, oh my god.
Wait, how?
Well, he's taken 13, 16, and 10 now, so 39 damage in one round.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would drop me at full health.
He falls to the ground, at the foot of the necromancer.
Can she reach him?
I mean, you can because you're a rogue, because you can also use your bonus action, but he is 40 feet away from you, and you're currently in the middle of that necromantic sphere. But you see, as Marion falls, that sort of halo of radiant fire that was around his head just sort of extinguishes, and you could see Romancer's face grin as Marion falls to his feet. But it is your turn, Amesley.
All right. Amesley, seeing someone she cares about fall to the ground, she's rushing to him. I'm going to use my bonus action to improve my strength. And then she's going to take her one potion of major healing, and she's shoving it down his throat.
Cool. Shoving it down his throat. Yep. So that happens. So you go ahead and roll, I think it's the 4d4 plus 4.
Okay, so 11.
Well, that's with the plus 4, right?
Oh, no. Then that's 15.
Marion, you gain all that hit points.
Please stay alive. So Amesley rushes forward and is just immediately forcing this potion down his throat. No, it's okay. You're fine. You're fine. We got you. You're going to come back, right? This is what's going to happen. You're not going to die. We got this. You okay?
We got this.
Yeah. Oh, hi.
Marin's still not breaking eye contact with the necromancer.
Okay.
But he is clutching Amesley for support.
Amesley, that was your movement, bonus action, and action, unless you have anything special. I don't think I have anything else I can do.
I think that was it.
Okay.
I just didn't want him to die.
I should have said, how can I die if you won't let me leave?
I will never let you leave.
Now moves all of these zombies. The two zombies that are closest to you, Marion and Amesley. One of them shambles up behind you, Amesley. And the other one goes right next to the dragonborn guy next to you, Marion. And they're both going to attack both of you. The attack on Marion is at advantage because you're prone. That's a natural 7 plus 2. He's going to miss you. Amesley, attack from behind, is a natural 10 plus 2.
That misses. You? That misses.
Okay.
Oh, thank God.
Both of those zombies miss you guys. Taylor, in front of you, the massive orc walks directly into the necrotic sphere. And you remember when you were in it before, and there was those bugbears, and they just sort of seemed to be like taking damage as they were like walking through it. It doesn't seem to be happening to this ogre. It's just walking straight through. And it walks directly up to you. And it's, again, taking that Morning Star and slamming it straight down on top of you.
Okay.
23 to hit.
And that's a miss. I have a AC you can't hit me. No, I'm kidding, guys. God.
Oh, my God.
That's I don't know what Zephyr Strike does. I don't know.
Zephyr Strike is exhausted after a turn. So, no, I get hit by that.
Okay.
My AC's only 18. I was like hoping I could like whip him in the face as he walked towards me, but I know that's not how D&D works.
Fuck. Almost max damage. Taylor, you take 22 points of damage as
the
Morning Star slams down into your shield.
Do I at least get knocked out of the necrotic zone?
you don't get pushed.
Sailing away.
Taylor, I got enough on my plate. I do not want to have to enter into a death pact with you to go find your lost daughter, so please live.
Death pacts are buy one, get one free today, so you might just get your chance.
You don't get slammed down to the ground either, so that's okay. And the ghoul, Peleus, the ghoul is actually running in your direction through the necrotic sphere. However, this ghoul seems to actually be taking damage from the necrotic sphere, unlike the ogre. Oh, nice.
Great.
Well, good thing I'm rolling max damage against the enemies, too, so... at least you're consistent.
We're all getting hit pretty hard.
I'm feeling all the sides of his dice say 6.
And he's running up to you, Peleus, and he's taking 2 attacks at you. One with his claw, one he's trying... He's, like, bounding leap and trying to bite you. So, first attack... is gonna miss. Second attack. That's natural 6. I don't think your AC is that bad.
No, it's a miss.
Yep. Also a miss. The ghoul's bounding through this necrotic sphere and leaps to try and reach out to grab you, and you just slightly dodge to the side, and the ghoul whizzes right past you, lands on all four skids, and is 10 feet away from you, now behind you, staring at you, Peleus. Then the rest of the zombies start moving. Two of them enter the necrotic sphere, and they take a little bit of damage. And the other two seem to be going around the side of the necrotic sphere towards Fanula's direction. Oh, sorry,
no.
There's three.
Don't touch her.
Now it is Fanula's turn.
Okay. Can I go 30 feet to get within 30 feet of him? Is that possible? But not going
of
into
the
sphere? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I do not want to be next to the ghoul.
Okay, so your option is just walking 30 feet forward.
Okay.
Or walking 30 feet to the side. There's zombies over here, but you're farther away from the ghoul.
Okay,
but
I'll do that. Fanula takes out a twig from a tree that has been struck by lightning and points at the ogre and casts Witch Bolt and prays that it works because she ain't rolling well tonight. Okay. Please roll better than a 2 and a 9. Nope. That's probably not going to hit.
What's the total?
14.
It hits.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank goodness, that was my last spell.
As a large, meaty, not dexterous creature.
Great, that's great.
Has a low AC.
Okay, so a beam of crackling blue energy lances from my finger and, like, attaches itself to the ogre. And there's like, a bridge of light, lightning between us. And he gets 1d12 lightning damage. Oh, wait, second level or higher. Okay, so I get 2d12s. A 12 and a 7. It's a concentration spell. I can damage it without casting anything every single time.
So 12 and 7, so 19 points of damage.
Yeah.
So it takes the full 19 points of damage.
Woo!
Yeah. And you guys see that sort of little electrical tether that's in between it and the ogre now, as it's just sort of blasted with this.
It? I'm an it?
Sorry.
Do you have a gender? Let's be honest.
I identify as female mostly.
Well, there you go. Okay, we'll go with that. If it's what you identify with, I'm on board.
Okay. The ogre seems to be looking heavily more damaged than he was before, than when he started this fight. But he's still up and kicking. So that is your movement and action. Back to the top of the round. Taylor, you're in the necrotic sphere. You automatically take this. You take 6 points of damage.
Okay.
Just radiating out from the radiation of the necrotic energy. And it is your turn. You have a ogre up in your face. Peleus,
okay.
Peleus and Nortrude are basically 15 feet respectively behind you.
How close am I to the edge of the necrotic sphere?
You're 10 feet away from the edge. And that would be behind you or directly to your right.
Since the ogre has a larger size than me, is it possible for me to move outside the sphere yet not incur an attack of opportunity because I'm still engaged with him?
No. You'll be moving basically out of his range.
Okay. Can I just dramatically draw my broadsword and attack the ogre?
Sure.
And burn 2 inspiration points so I can critical hit him?
Oh, yes, you can. Auto crit. Go ahead and roll me percentiles.
Badass! Nice!
My witch bolt's going to be pointless.
Because I do not want to get hit for 22 again. Sorry, he hit me too hard. So, you don't need me to roll the hit. You're just... I engage the cinematic.
You auto crit. Yeah. Yeah, you engage. You engage the cinematic. Roll right. Percentiles.
Percentile dice. I got a 23.
You're going to double all of the damage.
Okay. Which isn't super great because it's my broadsword, but I don't care. Come on, big money. All right. I rolled a great old 2. So that only gets me up to, let's see, 12 damage.
12 damage. Yeah, you slice off a chunk of arm from the ogre, taking off a huge hunk of its muscle and its bicep, and it looks sort of unfazed by it, but it does look like it's falling apart more. It is still up, and it is still pissed off in your face. Well, it's not really pissed off. It just looks zombie droning, you know? Yeah. As a bonus action, anyone can drink a healing potion they have equipped on them. In order to give a potion to someone else. It takes a full action, though.
Can I then just drink one of my greater potions of health?
Totally.
Beautiful. So after valiantly throwing himself at the large ogre in front of him and cleaving off a chunk of flesh, Taylor's going to step back, and as he's kind of catching his breath, draw from the pouch at his side one of the greater healing potions that he received from the party, and he's going to just pop the cork off and stuff it in his mouth and heal up a grand total of 13. Yay!
And you stay there, I assume. Or would you like to move?
Well, if I move, I'll incur an attack of opportunity, so I'm just going to stay where I am.
Okay. Taylor holds his ground in the necrotic sphere. You guys see the necrotic energy withering away at the tatters of his cloak, and he's just staring down the ogre that's towering over him.
Like a little raccoon.
Looks like we got a badass here.
Up next is the necromancer. What is he going to do?
He's going to take some damage is what he's going to do. Because Cloud of Daggers.
Yeah, he's going to take 1d6.
He's going to take 4d4. 11. It's 11 slashing damage.
Okay.
He needs to make a constitution saving throw, DC 13.
He gets a 14. Right. Does he take half? Or?
No, it just ends. He is no longer on fire.
There's just a swirling mass of silver blades just kind of surrounding him where he stands right now. And they're nicking him, cutting him here and there. It's fun stuff.
You see his cloak begin to get more tattered, and he has little slices through his dragon scales that you can see he's bleeding from. Seems to be taking that damage, but it is now his turn. He's going to move forward, step to his right and up over Marion. And he's looking down at Amesley as you're holding up Marion, and he reaches down and tries to grab you, Amesley. He's going to do a touch attack versus you.
He's doing that to Amesley? Wait, I have a question before you say anything.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Can I see this?
Sure.
Does it look like he is about to kill her? Because I know Ames is kind of squishy.
You can see dark energy in his hand as he's reaching down towards Amesley, yeah.
I apologize if this doesn't go well, Peleus.
So you're doing a reaction?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it?
Take out my amulet.
Okay.
And I hold it real tight and I say, "Don't touch Amesley," and cast counterspell.
Oh.
I love you so much.
But unfortunately that is also a wild magic surge, so I apologize to Peleus if you are in some sort of AoE effect.
Oh boy, he's not that close to me, right? I can't imagine why it would be.
I'm 30 be centered feet from on her. You.
Unicorn.
Counterspell, can you read it for me?
You attempt to interrupt a creature in the process of casting a spell. That if the creature is casting a spell of third level or lower, its spell fails and has no effect. If it's fourth or level or higher, make an ability check.
Okay. You watch as he's reaching down for Amesley, and he's like looking at grabbing the necklace that's around her neck. As he grabs you, Amesley, he's just like grabbing your shoulder, and that black energy just dissipates and nothing happens. And he has a confused look on his face, and he whips his head up and he stares in the direction of Fionnuala. He is now standing above Marion and above Amesley, his hand on Amesley. Fionnuala, you need to roll a wild magic surge. Please roll percentiles for me.
I apologize to everyone.
You don't sound remotely sorry about this.
Don't. This is going to be exciting, and thank you so much for saving me.
You say that now.
I love you so... You know what? I don't care.
It's funny how Amesley can be like so bloodthirsty on one side and protective, and then so like gracious and loving at the same time. Like, I will fight you to the death. I will love you till the end.
Amesley is very much in the, I'm going to save everyone I can unless you try to hurt someone I love, and then you're fucking dead.
Yeah.
She's small, but she's extreme.
I like. I rolled a 29%.
29, 29.
A whole herd of unicorns.
What if it was the unicorn again? I'd be like, oh, this is what happens. Okay, cool.
This may be very interesting for you. You get to choose this option.
Oh.
So it says, you teleport up to 60 feet in an unoccupied space of your choice that you can see. Where would you like to teleport 60 feet away from you?
Can I teleport and kick him in the face in the same time?
You know what? For like...
Heck yeah.
Shits would you rule and, yeah. of cool?
Yeah. Rule of cool.
You but can... I'll scratch him. I'll scratch him in the eyes instead. Because I feel like that's more of a vanilla thing.
All right, you're going to teleport, so you're like... up on him, or you want to be like next to Amesley and Marion?
On top of his head.
That space is now muddled with both Amesley, Marion, and him. So where are you in relation to that?
Stuff a mushroom in his mouth.
Oh, can do I that just, too. Like, that works as well.
Can I teleport and like in front of him so he can't be grabbing her necklace?
You can, you know what? Because this wild magic surge is happening, you know what? I'll give that to you. I'll let you teleport in between the space of him and Amesley, so that you just like take up that space, you're like literally right in front of him. I'll allow that because your wild magic surge technically happened before he did his full grab. So instead, his hand is reaching out, and would you like to teleport there?
Yeah, and okay. I want to like smack his hand away.
Okay, just give me a roll to hit.
Oh wait, you're allowing me to have a second. Oh wait. I guess that wasn't even my turn. It was a reaction.
Yeah, I know, but this is like rule of cool thing. Okay. You're only going to do 1 point of damage because that's the max that you can do. I just need to know if you're like, you know, hitting his hand out of the way or whatever.
14.
Yeah, that's good enough to hit his hand. Amesley and Marion, I guess, especially Amesley, you watch as the necromancer comes over and he's got that sort of dark energy in his hand.
She's staring at him with absolutely terrified eyes when he comes at her because she's still holding on to Marion and can't really figure out how to defend herself.
Yeah, and then the black energy dissipates and he looks questioningly at his hand. And then all of a sudden there's a poof and Fanula is right there in front of him, smacking his hand out of the way.
I like bare my teeth at him and say, fuck off.
Okay. That was his action and a little bit of his movement.
He's like all right, I guess that happened.
He's going to take a legendary action.
No!
And instead, he just looks at you, Fanula, and you need to roll a charisma saving throw.
Okay. 18.
Okay, good. You save, so you only take half of this damage.
Yes, for squishies, that isn't very reassuring.
I'm not that squishy, honestly.
You're taking half of 18, so you're taking 9 points of damage as just sort of like this life energy is just sucked from you as he's looking at you maniacally. And you can see it, the little nicks and cuts that he has in his arms just slowly begin to heal as you can see just sort of like this wispy energy get removed from you and go directly into him. He heals for 9 hit points.
I glare at him, an icy glare.
Okay, that is Necromancer's turn. He is staying there. Nortrude, it is your turn. You have the ogre that is in front of Taylor, towering over him, and there's a mass of zombies. There is 2 in the necrotic sphere, 2 more that look like they were walking up through the necrotic sphere. You have B, which is on Marion, which is on the ground right next to the necromancy guy, but then also Fanula is there as well. B does have the breath weapon still. But it is, and it will be B's action to do it. You can still do another action to do something else.
So, let's see. I definitely want B to still use his dragon breath spell. B is going to try to get the zombies.
Okay. B can definitely move in a way where he's going to hit all remaining zombies within that cone.
Excellent. Okay. 11.
Okay, I'm making a dex save for the zombies. They're not very dexterous. They definitely fail.
They like trip over themselves.
11 points of damage. It's enough to vaporize all the rest of those zombies.
Woo!
You watch as the tiny little bee do a massive breath weapon out of his tiny mouth. And you see it just mixes with the necrotic sphere energy and hits those 2 zombies that were shambling through it and then hits the other 3 zombies that were in the area, and they just sizzle and turn to ash as they're falling down. That was B's movement in action. Oh, what are you doing, Mortrude?
Well, let's see. I'll magic missile the ogre.
So roll your 3d4 plus 3.
10 total?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 10.
Okay.
The first missile that I fire is purple, and then the next one is like sort of this flashing orange color, And then the very last one is totally colorless and you don't see it coming. So when it hits, you're not expecting it. So
oh, it's when they kind of got that. Oh, what the hell?
Yes.
I like it. That's adorable.
It's not meant to be adorable, Amesley. It's meant to be silently destructive.
Deadly.
Okay. All three colored missiles fire out and hit the giant ogre. He looks terrible. He looks real bad, but he is still standing. You have movement if you want to move anywhere.
Well, I will stay where I am.
Okay. Up next is Peleus.
Cool. How far away am I from the cluster of my buddies and a necromancer? Three buddies and a necromancer. It's my favorite show.
50 feet.
50 feet? Ugh. It's so 50. Far away. Oh, my goodness. How close could I get if I skirted the necrotic sphere? Could I get 20 feet away, or would I be a further distance away? Because I don't want to go in it.
You can skirt around the side, doing a little shimmy with Nortrude, and get within 20-foot range of the necromancer using your full...
Neat. All right, so I'm standing, and I see an ogre, and I see a Taylor raccoon, and I'm sad because I don't want my raccoon friend to die. I want to throw
scraps.
A dagger at the ogre.
Go ahead and roll the attack.
22.
Definitely hits.
That hits? Oh, my goodness. Did not see that coming. It's 7 piercing.
Okay. You're killing the ogre.
Good.
Ha-ha.
I have been standing idly by for most of the fights we've been in terms of physically doing anything other than killing my own teammates. So I'm kind of mad. I'm getting frustrated with this group of, 13 total enemies that spawned, including the necromancer, and seeing people run away the entire time. So with all the might that my little frail sea elf body can muster, I'm going to chuck my rusty, terrible dagger square at the face of that ogre. It's a huge face. I mean, it's the size of a barn door at this point, right? So fling it straight through, deftly through the shimmering heat waves that is the necrotic energy that I can feel radiating on my body, but thankfully not damaging my sweet, sweet outfit. And I think I get it right in its right eye, assuming it has a right eye.
Yeah, it still has the right eye.
It still has, well, not anymore. And I think that's going to be flush enough to fell the beast. Probably right on top of Taylor. But, you know, collateral damage being what it is, I think he'll be okay.
Really not be okay?
Taylor, give me a dex saving throw.
5.
You take 2 points as damage as it just sort of like glances off you and falls into the necrotic energy. Now that you're both like seeing it fall and seeing like the life essence or whatever it is that controls undead creatures is no longer there, you can see that it's now quickly withering away in that sort of necrotic sphere. Peleus.
Yes.
It is still your turn.
Delicious. Let's move toward the necromancer.
You want to do that intended. 20 feet away thing that you were talking about
that,
before?
That 20 feet away thing? Yeah, yeah. Sure. Let's do that.
Okay. You say hi to Nortrude as you skirt past her.
What's going on, Nortrude? Since I haven't cast a spell this turn, right? I haven't done it. Can I now use Healing Word on Taylor?
Yeah!
Yay, I did the thing correctly.
Yeah, it totally does.
<A thing. laughs>
Now you can use Healing Word on, you said on Marion?
No, on Taylor.
Oh, on Taylor. Sure.
He's going to be still in the necrotic sphere when he takes his next turn, so I figure he's in some bad way right this second.
You just hit me for 2 damage.
I know, yeah. I feel terrible. So let's go ahead and 8. 3 plus my spell. I have a 5 modifier for my spell casting modifier, right? So.
Okay. That's your action, bonus action, and movement, unless you got anything fancy.
Nah. It's your turn. I don't think I have anything else fancy going on.
All right.
Hello, and welcome to the intermission of episode 20.
Woohoo! Yay! 20 episodes down! Thanks for coming along on this journey. Also, another thing to celebrate is we just hit 300 followers on our Twitter. So we're going to be doing another dice bag giveaway. All you have to do to enter is be
our follower on Twitter and find our post about the giveaway and retweet it. And of course, that can be found at twitter.com/rollingonfate. And it will be the first one pinned there, so you'll be able to see it. That's it. That's all you gotta do. And you can win your very own handmade Halloween-themed dice bag made by Jen. You have until October 31st, of course, so get on it. On our Patreon, we have started giveaway packages for all of our new and upgrading members. For the $5 a month level, not only do you gain access to all of our super amazing bonus audio content, you now gain access to digital copies of character sheets. There are two different versions. One is Fey and Mushroom inspired, and the other one is a Victorian steampunk, and it's got a lot of gears and top hats and all that kind of stuff. Of course, designed by Jen as well. And if you become a $10 a month patron, you will receive all the pre-mentioned benefits, and we will send you your very own copies of the character sheets printed on some nice fancy cardstock. And you will also have early access to any artwork that we are working on. So head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/rollingonfate. For the next couple of episodes, we're going to be posting Jen's run one-shot. Remember, it is inspired by her favorite 80s movie, so stay on the lookout for that. Stick around to the end of the episode to hear a bit about our friends at Here for the Rolls. The next episode will be up October 30th, just in time for Halloween. Now, back to our regular scheduled programming. Up next, Marion Kind, you are on the ground. Amesley is clutching you. Fanuela popped up right in front of you, in between you and the necromancer, but it is your turn. You can use half your movement to stand, or you can even just probably reach out and grab the necromancer's foot if you wish. Up to you.
I would like to stand. I will burn my last spell slot to cast Divine Favor on myself.
Okay, what does Divine Favor do?
Adds 1d4 radiant damage to my weapon attacks. And I'm going to forget my flail. I'm going to move to his left, and I'm just going to start pummeling him with my bare fists. So I'm going to try to punch him in the face. Boom, that's an 18 plus 5 is 23.
Yeah,
all right. And I do 4 bludgeoning damage and 4 radiant damage.
Okay.
Just want to crack him right in the jaw.
You see, as your radiant damage is a relatively small amount, I would say, like 4 points of damage, but it seems like it does way more than that 4 points of damage. He takes a searing amount of energy. He's looking a little bit more damaged. I forgot to say, there's still one zombie up that attacked you on the ground, but you're still in its zone of control, mm-hmm. Marion, and it's just behind you right now, just being a zombie, you know.
And it's not a monk pose either. It's like total, like, boxer stands to crack him in the face.
Amesley, it's your turn.
Okay, Amesley is going to reach into her cloak and pull out a very specific fox figurine and say, in Indraconda, she's going to say, grab the rod if you can't attack the zombies. And if you can, destroy it or hand it to me and then toss it 10 feet behind the necromancer and say the only sylvan word she knows, which is for bounding fox.
Mm-hmm. Marion, you can see this, and this is definitely the first time that you've seen this. Amesley takes out this little intricately carved figurine from her hand, and it's really hard to tell what it is. And then as she speaks those words and throws it, the figurine morphs as it leaps through the air and lands 10 feet behind the necromancer. And it looks like a fox, but this fox looks much larger and has sort of like more elven qualities. The ears are sort of go into along a point, and it just has lengthy style to its body. And even like the colors of white that goes around its eyes go to like thin tips that swirl. And it's trying to grab the
Rod from the Necromancer. I will also give him advantage because he's facing Fionnuala and Marion as well, and the fox is now a third opponent that's coming from behind. Yeah, so we need to do a... Let's do a dexterity contest.
Okay.
So...
18 total.
You watch as the fox darts up underneath the Necromancer's right arm and reaches up and tries to bite down on the rod, but it seems like the Necromancer just barely sees the fox out of the corner of its eye and wrenches the rod up, and the fox bites a little bit of his cloak and rips down, but only grabs the cloak and not the rod. That's the fox's action.
I want that so badly. Okay, I'm going to try to do another disarming shot then. I still have two more.
Sure. You definitely get advantage because Fionnuala's right next to you, and, I mean, sneak attack all the way, so...
22 to attack then, so I guess I hit.
Yep, that hits. And he needs to make a constitution 14. Saving throw. He rolled a
strength
natural
saving
19.
Throw.
Yeah. Minus one, 18.
Come on, stop rolling so well when I actually succeed at these.
he still holds on to it, but he's taking the sneak attack damage. Go ahead and roll.
Oh, holy shit. I rolled really well on that. Right, that's 23.
Wow. Okay. You can see as he takes another shot to his torso, and it looks like he is heavily wounded now, especially from that shot. He is on death's door, basically. He is so close. It's now the zombie's turn, which only leaves the one zombie behind Marion and the ghoul. So the zombie behind Marion walks up to you just 5 feet and slams you in the back. It does gain advantage because the necromancer is on your other side. 17, 18 to hit.
That will hit. AC 16. Man, my back is just getting thrashed.
4 points of damage.
All right.
From the zombie hitting your back. And the ghoul. So he's going to run at you, Nortrude. 5, 10, 15, 20. And he's going to roll to attack you. He's doing sort of a leaping jump. And as he's jumping, he's trying to bite and slash at you at the same time. So here's the bite attack. And here's the slashing attack. Let's see. Highest is... Does a 12 hit you?
12 misses, Nortrude.
Yay!
Yeah. Your AC is 14, I think, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, so a 12 misses. So
oh, thank God.
Both well attacks, done. This ghoul cannot hit. It flies again through the air, and you just bat it away as it just sort of lands another 5 feet behind you, skidding on all 4 feet, looking extremely pissed off at your direction.
It doesn't look as pissed off as I do.
Good to know. That's all the zombies, because all the rest of them are dead. Fionnuala, it is your turn. You have the necromancer right in your face, and there's a fox behind the necromancer and a Marion to the left of the necromancer.
Okay.
And a zombie that is behind Marion.
And the necromancer looks really bad off.
He looks extremely bad off.
Okay.
He is, like, wheezing.
I smile, like, viciously and cast Primal Savagery
Can we
on
not
myself.
Kill him and question him, please?
You cast Primal Savagery.
Do you say that when you see...
Take him out.
Do you say that when you see her nails start growing really long?
Yes, if I can. If talking's a free action, I would say, let's not kill him. Can we please question him?
All right. Can I do... I glance down at Amesley, and I still go ahead and slash at his face with my claws, but I'm doing non-lethal damage.
Okay, rolled with hit.
Okay, 19.
That hits.
Cool. I only got a 3, but maybe that'll do it.
It's a 3 total?
Yeah. It's acid damage.
How do you make acid damage non-lethal?
Out of your fingers.
I don't slash across his neck. I just, like, gouge his eyes out or something.
Okay. He's falling down unconscious. Tell me how you do that. He had 3 hit points left, by the way.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
There's like beaded green substance on my like elongated claw nails, and I just slash him across the face, and I guess then he just like passes out. The acid kind of fizzles on his face a bit.
He falls, dropping the staff, and the fox is immediately going to grab the staff.
Oh, such a good girl. Thank you.
He falls into a clump down on the floor, and he, for all intents and purposes, is unconscious. You can see that he still is breathing, but who knows for how long. Taylor, it's your turn. You're in the middle of the necrotic sphere. You take 5 points of necrotic damage.
Taylor's going to leave the necrotic sphere, and he's going to walk towards the ghoul, and as he's traveling out, he's going to kind of stow his whip, or sheathe the sword, stow his whip, and pull out the shotgun that Amesley was kind of showing him how to work. And he's going to kind of fumble with the latch a little bit.
Oh, please don't fail this. He gets up
to the ghoul. He's going to try to blow the ghoul's head off.
All right. I just imagine you like walking out of the necrotic sphere, just like taking the sawed off shotgun, walking directly up to the ghoul and just firing it down upon it.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell style.
Yeah. Oh God, with your like handling of this is so bad. Probably
with like the wisping, like deteriorating, like smoke of the necrotic, like energy dissipating off my like breastplate. Yeah, just gonna level it on
roll
him.
The hit.
I got a 14.
That hits.
Dope.
Roll 2d8.
Okay. 8 damage.
Okay. Ghoul takes 8 damage.
Oh wait, plus 2 for undead. 10 damage.
Takes 10 damage. It is looking wounded, but instead of staring at Nortrud, it now looks up at you, and you're basically on the edge of the sphere, standing above the ghoul, and it's now sighting in on you.
That's fine.
It is the necromancer's turn. He needs to roll a death saving throw, and he fails. One down. Okay, Nortrud, your turn. There's a ghoul right next to you that's now looking at Taylor.
I'll just leave it. No, I'm kidding. I guess B will hop on over to Taylor.
And breathe death from above.
Yes, basically.
It just goes like Pikachu on the freaking... That's cool.
Well, he's a tiny little chipmunk, and he's been using the lightning breath, so his fur is like standing up a little from the static electricity, but he can still sprint on over to Taylor and hop on his shoulder, and death will follow.
Okay, so the ghoul rolls saving throw. He fails. Full damage.
Okay, and B nuked it with 14.
Yeah, overkill. The ghoul is charred remains.
So B looks really satisfied as he is breathing giant bolts of lightning at the ghoul, and then the ghoul is charred and crispy, and so B brushes off his little shoulder and looks very content with his work today.
Okay, that's Nortrud's turn. The only enemy left now is that zombie, so now I'll give it flair to Marion or Amesley.
I'm just gonna turn around, I'm gonna box the shit out of it, I'm gonna cross, boom, one, and then boom, hopefully put my hand right through its chest with my divine energy.
Cool. It's dead.
Cool. It's dead.
And then for good measure, turn its head around just like 180 degrees, just, and then drop it.
I would like to use my rope to tie up the necromancer, and then use my if I can have a medicine check to wake him up.
Okay, so it is a timely manner. So you basically
thing I want to do is tie him up. Then, if that matters, then
okay. What is other people doing?
I'm like ready to slash that necromancer again if he gets up.
I would very much like to just kill him and be done with him, lest we accidentally let him escape. If he has magics at his disposal, like he showed us, there is a very real possibility that he will get away. We should not squander this opportunity.
He did teleport away from us the last time. He literally just poofed away last time.
I am of the opinion, no half measures.
Okay, but we already kind of proved that we don't know that much about what's going on.
I don't need to know. We'll figure it out.
Can you trust that?
Yep.
We could search his person and see if we can find
him. He doesn't need to be alive for us to search his person.
Well, what if we find something we need to ask him?
We don't need to ask him anything. He is evil and he is the enemy. He is irredeemable and he brings death wherever he goes.
I'm not saying he's redeemable. I'm saying he has information.
He does not have any information that we desire. The only thing he deserves is a... Well.
I am going to agree with Marion on this one. I think that we should dispatch him as soon as possible and be on with our day. Fanula can have another one of her dreams if she wants, and we can find out
where I will not be responsible for whatever carnage will entail should he get away. And I will not endanger anybody else by allowing him to escape.
He's killed enough people already.
It is not worth it.
Yeah, the risk is too great.
Okay, well, in that case, are you guys okay killing someone in your sleep?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Really?
Would you?
We could wake him up.
No.
I wouldn't.
That was just what they were talking about.
Then kill
you
him.
You just, like, amble up and you're like, hey, let's wake him up.
Are we in agreement?
No.
Fanula, as you're staring down at his body, you can tell when somebody's sort of like unconscious, and then now his breathing gets a little bit more labored, but he is still breathing.
We don't even know if killing him is going
to
be the end of it.
It might actually make him stronger, so we should actually just talk to him.
Hard disagree.
Taylor's just going to go stand in front of the rift and make sure nothing else comes out. So he's ignoring whatever the heck you guys are doing over there.
Fanula's staring at the necromancer as he's labor breathing.
Fanula, give me a perception check at advantage.
13.
Ames and Marion, give me perception checks at disadvantage. And Peleus, because you have now walked over there. Give me a perception check at disadvantage.
Well, it didn't matter too much because both of my rolls were terrible.
Both of my rolls were fantastic. I rolled an 18.
I got a 4.
Okay, Marion, you're the only one who sees this. As you guys are having your conversation and Fanula is like staring down, you see the necromancer's right hand, sort of like a scaly arm, and there's even some like tattoos with like the red lines that are in his scale. But then you see his fingers and they start flicking. I'm giving you the barest of instantaneous reaction right now. Okay, no hesitation. Roll to attack with advantage.
You probably don't notice what's going on until it happens.
All right. That's still 23.
Yeah, describe what you do. Because you're killing him.
Oh, this is going to be so unpleasant. Like, you see his finger twitches Marion. You just see him kneel down. And he just snaps his neck.
Okay. Marion, when you were, like, watching his finger as it was twisting, you could see there was almost this like weird arcane energy that he was summoning in his finger. And then you reach down, kill him, and then the energy is gone. It looked like he was about to cast something.
I just step back and look over to the rift.
As you guys stare at the rift, it's sort of a ominous glow that it emanates from it. The fire in the center of the room is out, because that necromantic sphere is still there, still decaying the stone and the dead ogre body that's there. And basically the only light that's now in here is being given off by this extremely dark gray hue of the Shadowfell Rift that's emanating out. And you can hear just sort of like a gentle breeze.
Fanula, do you want to go through his pockets?
Sure.
Marion's just going to rub his eyes and
poke around,
pick up his flail and start putting himself back together.
I poke around gingerly.
Okay, give me an investigation check. Did you want to try and check for traps? Is that what you mean by gingerly? Or are you just...
But also because I don't like touching certain things.
Okay. Do you want to give me a traps check? You can't... Every character can... Just you don't have proficiency in it.
Okay, sure.
Okay. Just give me a d20 roll plus your dex mod.
Roll 9.
Does not appear to be trapped.
Cool. I'm going to explode. So should I do an investigation now?
Yeah, now do an investigation roll.
I got a 12. But I'm being careful about it. I'm not like just reaching my hand in there.
Okay. So moving things about. You don't get the sense that he has any sort of metal that's on him. He is just wearing sort of, or actually he's not wearing any armor. He was basically just wearing this cloak plus a bunch of belts that are on him, and there's pouches that have coinage in them, and you take that out and he has 3 platinum.
Oh shit, he has platinum?
16 gold pieces, 2 silvers and 3 coppers.
Ainsley is gonna, seeing if there's any secret entrances.
secret entrances in the building here?
Yeah, not looking for any, like, things that are, like, items that are hidden, but, like, any areas that might be hidden.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Just in case.
Yeah, give me an investigation roll.
Oh, but I did roll a nat 20.
You rolled a nat 20?
I did.
Okay, get 1 second. I'll
okay,
come back
to you. Keep going. Like, do your own thing.
Fanula, as you're also doing sort of the investigation check, you're, like, moving around his cloak, and you can see underneath his cloak, there's that black scales that of his dragonborn skin. But then as you're moving the cloak, you can see, like, his body is frail. It's weird. It seems like he had, you know, a constitution, right? Because it took a while to kill him. But it's just, he's gangly, especially for, like, a dragonborn. And turning his arms over and stuff, sort of those red streaks and red markings, you're now looking at them a little bit more closely. And it almost looks like there's tattoos. There's tattoos all throughout his skin and his body. That's this dark red maroon color that shifts into this, like, lighter red. But it's a big contrast on his black scales. And a lot of it does not make sense to you. You just think that, cool designs or whatever. But
neat.
It looks pretty.
Yeah. At this point in time, none of that makes sense to you.
Do I find anything else?
Yes. In the coin pouch where you found all of those pieces, while you're sort of like sifting through the coinage, you can see one of the coins looks different than the rest. You may have mistaked it for a gold coin, just like size-wise, but it doesn't look gold. It sort of has a brass coppery patina on it, and it's just this little emblem. It's an emblem that looks like a lithe hand, and you can see sort of in the center of the hand, there's just this black fire or necrotic energy that's just sort of like being controlled by the hand. You can see it just sort of, it seems like the hand is sort of like manipulating it. And if you take it out and angle it in the light, it almost looks like the fingers are sort of like moving and like this necrotic energy is almost like flames that are flicking around in its palm.
I turn it over a little bit and then I look up at Marion and say, check this out. And I like flick him the coin.
Grab the coin out of the air, and I will take a look at it.
Give me a straight intelligence roll.
Good, so you want me to fail.
Oh, my intelligence is low as well. I just won't even try looking
at
it.
Not a religion check?
No. I will either give you a history check or a intelligence check, which is the same thing.
14.
Okay, with a 14, that symbol is vaguely familiar to you. It is not familiar in a sense from, like, teachings from the paler clerics or anything like that. It's you think maybe it had something to do with the book that you had. You maybe came across a symbol like that you had, like, who the hell knows what the hell that is, and like you moved on, but it seems like that may have been in that book.
Nortrude, can you sketch this real quick?
Yeah, of course. Let me get my notebook out. So I'm getting my notebook out and sketching it. Do I recognize any of it?
Give me a history check at disadvantage.
Crap. Okay, so, 14.
Makes no sense to you.
Well, it makes no sense to me, so.
But remember how I talked about that book when we were looking at the back wall there? I recall coming across a symbol in that book I was telling you about. All the more reason for us to get back to Landrin so that we can talk to Shay. She's got it at the moment, and she is attempting to translate it.
Weren't we going to the prison?
We are going to the prison first.
Okay. But after that, we could go back.
But after that.
Well, is there anything we can do about this rift here? Do I know anything about the necklace that she just got?
Nope. The fox is still holding the rod, by the way.
Taylor's just going to shout, close at the rift.
The fox is still holding the rod.
Should we do something about that?
Destroy it.
I want to grab the rod and I want to break it against my knee.
What if we could
roll
close
a strength check
the rift with it? Let's like put it on the rift.
I want to give it to someone else to break it against their knee.
Don't look at me.
Should we use the Mortimer while we're here? While Ooh. This is still here?
Sure, that'll.
I'm in favor of this.
This sounds like an idea to get us hurt, but.
Maybe sure. Before we start breaking more things.
Well, I think the sooner I would like to attempt to melt the coin using my sacred flame cantrip, if that's possible. If not, I'll ask somebody that has actual fire to melt it down into slag.
Attempting with the sacred flame cantrip, it seems like it's not affecting it.
Snartrude, if you wouldn't mind melting this thing into obscurity. We have the thing that we need. The last thing we do is need to be tracked by whomever the hell gave him this coin.
Ah, by all means.
And the chipmunk breathes fire on it.
Blah.
Blah. Nortrude, if you wouldn't mind taking a look at this rod, and I take it from my fox and give her a quick pet in the head.
All right, Amesley, right when you touch the rod.
Oh. What is going to happen? Why is everyone else so freaking out? What did I miss?
Well, you said it. You win the lottery.
You get a flash in your head, and it is not pleasant.
Oh, no!
It is of death and decay and Shadowfell, everything. You do, however, learn instantaneously what this rod does. I'm just going to say it out loud. The Staff of the Shadow. It can do several different things. One, it can do a necromantic sphere, which you guys have now experienced twice. It can do a lifesteal, which the necromancer used on Fenuela when it stole life from her and gave it to him. It also makes the user immune to necrotic, resistant to cold damage, and it also has the other added benefit of creating a Shadowfell rift. It is a sickening feeling that you feel when you touch it.
Guys, I don't like this. I don't like this.
Ooh, I gotta go over to my friend. I'm going to take the rod out of her hands.
Now you know what it does too.
We seem to be doing this a lot. We should do this less. I'm going to rip the rod away from her, if she will let me, and hold her. And probably puke on my shoes a little bit.
Okay, yeah, Marion, when you rip the rod out of her hand, the same thing happens to you. You feel the death and decay, and then you get all that information from the staff, and then it clatters on the floor.
And I'm going to attempt to cast Sacred Flame on it. See if that does anything.
It does nothing. All right.
In which case, I am actually going to pick it back up again.
Okay.
I'm going to wrap it very gently and stick it into my belt.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, same thing happens until it's fully wrapped. And
does
then
it say only create Shadowfell rifts?
Yes, it does say only create a Shadowfell rift. When it's wrapped up placed in your belt, you no longer feel sort of the decay sensation at all.
I'd be mad if I should. That's not the worst I've felt.
I would believe you. It gets close, though, doesn't it?
It's not good.
No. It's not. Let's get the hell out of here. God. I think I've lost my appetite for information for today. I know we want to use the Mortimer here, but we can do this under controlled circumstances in Landrin. Let's get the hell out of here.
Do you think we could seal this cave so that nothing that comes out of this is going to get out and hurt anyone else?
That's a good idea.
That's one way to seal the rift.
I mean, I,
maybe there's a way that we could close the door.
You still have a bit of gunpowder. I could probably cause a cave-in.
Well, I'm still intrigued or curious about sending the Mortimer into the rift. Could we wait to close it down until after we collect some information? I mean, the staff has been adequately contained. Just don't touch it again, and this is an opportunity to learn some more about the Shadowfell rifts.
It bad. Don't need more.
If I look into the rift, can I see like more things in there?
Looking into the rift, and Taylor, you had also been standing guard on the rift and looking inside. You don't see any moving bodies. You just see the vast wasteland of the Shadowfell, which is like the same thing that you saw at the last Shadowfell rift, but it doesn't seem like there's more movement on the other side.
Can we see, like, is it a cave there too?
No.
It's this, like a
this does
open
not
landscape.
Seem like it's the same sort of thing as the transportation rift.
So, like, if we could see really far, so we could see if this something was coming within, like, an hour's walk of us?
Yeah, so one handy thing with this rift is as you sort of, like, move around it and you're, like, looking inside, it's almost like you're looking through it onto the next plane. And you can see, effectively, if you go all the way around the rift, you can see 360 in the Shadowfell, and you see sort of mountains on one side in the distance, but it all looks like this arid desert wasteland that's all dark and in shadow. And Vanula and Taylor, give me perception checks.
26.
19.
Both of you are pretty sure that you don't see any movement anywhere close to where you are or where it is in relation to where it's at.
I mean, I look at Marion and Amesley. I'm like,
Marion is making a deep frowny face.
You can go outside and there looks like there's nothing close by in the rift. And then we can do the machine thing. And then we can maybe, Amesley, you can get like the explosion stuff ready while we're doing that.
I don't think it would take very long, Marion. I can't see anything on the other side that would be remotely threatening for us if we go in there.
That's really interesting, because when I was in the rift last time, there was really nothing close, except for the fact that when I was standing on the spot, I could see within about 10 miles, three different herds of ghouls sweeping across the landscape. But go ahead, play with your fire.
Go take a look. Do you see that?
Can we stop it? Is that what we're going along with? Can we stop it?
Yeah, I think maybe we could, me and Nortrude can do the machine and you can get the explosion stuff set up, and then when we go out you can set it off and maybe we can seal this off.
If we can get more information now, we'll be one step closer to knowing how we can stop this.
Yeah, I wanted more information earlier and you killed them.
Yeah, well, we know what we need, and I'm going to point to the amulet on Amesley's neck. We need whatever magic, whatever culture created that. We don't need that. And he's going to point at the Mortimer.
Marion, once I had the chance to do something about a Shadowfell rift, and I chose not to. And I've regretted it since. Now, today, right now, we have the option to learn more about the Shadowfell rifts so that we can close them. If we do not know what they are, how can we end them? Part of my life's work has been to create the Mortimer so we can understand the rifts, so that we can learn about them. If we give this up, I do not know when I will have another chance to learn about it.
I can tell you exactly where one is, because I've been through it at Landrin, being protected by the priests of Palor. Not only that, we can now summon one whenever we feel like it. But if you want to waste your time here, be my guest, and I'm going
to
walk out.
Yes, I'm more than happy to waste my time, as you say. How about we will send the Mortimer in, and if we see anything coming, then we will take it out, and we will leave.
That sounds good to me. Amesley, why don't you go get the explosive stuff ready outside with Marion?
You hear angry stomping going down the hallway. Sulky stomping.
I don't want to listen to anyone again.
Oh, yeah, well, we're being careful. There's four of us in here, because Peleus is still here, right, Peleus?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Don't worry, I'll blast them with some other spell if anything happens.
I'm really, really sorry. I just did not like that feeling. I didn't like that feeling at all.
It sounded really horrible. So, I probably should go out with Marion to make sure he doesn't do stupid things.
Yes, some of us don't seem quite as rational as others. I think Marion needs some company.
Okay, Amesley's going to go out to Marion, but she's probably still going to be crying.
Okay.
Does her little fox, like, go and snuggle her or something?
Oh, yeah. The fox is at Amesley's side the entire time now, and it's trying to, like, nuzzle its head in her hand. And if she sits down, it's going to, like, try and sit in her lap and snuggle her and stuff. Or curl around her. Because it actually is, like, as the same size, if not a little bit bigger than her.
It's bigger than her. It's as tall as her, but it is longer than her. So.
Longer and has a lot of fur, so, yeah. It will snuggle around you if you sit down.
Is the necrotic orb still hanging out?
After a total of about 10 minutes, the necrotic sphere basically seems to slowly dissipate and go away.
Yeah, is there anything left of what was inside the sphere?
There's decayed ash from the ogre, and that's it.
Is my dagger still there?
Yes.
Yay! Can I go get my dagger?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would like that back, please. Thank you. Bye.
It looks that you said it was a rusty dagger.
It's all my weapons are terrible. So yes.
it looks even more rusty.
Oh, perfect. It's got more characters, what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Another story to sell.
A tetanus knife.
Is the mace or flail that the ogre was using?
Morningstar?
Yeah, the Morningstar still there?
Yep.
I'm going to pick it up, and while we go into
Morningstar the size of Taylor?
When we go into the Shadowfell Rift, I'm just going to leave it in there.
Oh, okay. It's heavy. I mean, you can easily pick it up, but it is a massive two-handed weapon for you, even though it was only wielding it one-handed.
I know we just left a bunch of like zombie carcasses in this fancy elemental like shrine chamber thing, but I don't think this mace should live there. So anyway, yeah, it's coming with us when we go into the Shadowfell.
Yeah, and I'm setting up the Mortimer as quickly as I can.
Okay. Yeah, so I basically need to know who's going to go inside the Shadowfell Rift.
Taylor's going.
Oh, this is going to go so badly, guys.
I have no spell slots left, but I have Eldritch Blast.
I'm going to stay outside the portal with Nortrud.
Okay. After about 10-ish minutes of setting up Mortimer, I almost called it Nortrudmer.
You really should rename it the Nortimer.
It's ready to be sent inside, and you hand it to Taylor.
We'll come out as soon as it's ready.
Well, good luck. Remember, if you see anything, really try to balance the need for information with the need for safety. Please.
And with that, Taylor's going to take one breath of the normal material plane air on this side and just go into what he is planning on assuming will feel just like that necrotic sphere he was stuck in just about 10 minutes ago. Prepare for the worst.
I'm going to grimace as I follow him.
Okay.
I don't know what the necrotic sphere felt like. I don't know what to prepare for.
Peleus and Nortrud, you watch as Taylor sucks in a breath and steps to the center of the rift and just vanishes inside. And then the same thing happens with Fionnuala a moment later. And you guys can then see them through on the other side of the rift. They're kind of like a mirage-y, you know? You can't see them fully distinctly, but you can still see them in there. Fionnuala and Taylor. It's funny that you two went in the Grey Realm rift and now you two again are going into the next rift. Seems like you two are the ones sent in. This experience for both of you is nothing like you've ever experienced before. For Fionnuala, just as drastic as it was going from the material plane to the Grey Realm Rift, this is even more because it's darkness, it's shadow, it's so bland and dark in colors. It's sickening, almost like washing feeling that goes over you as you walk in there. Taylor, it's like almost like a perpetual dusk night, and you're just in this arid desert, but it feels cold. And you guys also feel the wind as you step in come sucking out past you. In it seems like it's being sucked into the rift, just like your clothes and hair are flapping, but nothing else. And you just have this slow, ominous whistling noise that is constantly centered on you. But that's it. It's just an arid desert as far as you can see.
I'm going to use Primeval Awareness to use my last Ranger spell slot. Basically, for the next minute or so, I can sense if any undead are present within a mile of me. And actually, yeah, right. It's not up to 6 miles because we're not in the forest. But basically, I am aware if anything is nearby that I didn't see before. And I'm going to start setting up the Mortimer as soon as that's done. Yeah. Or I'll engage the Mortimer.
Press the button.
You get an undead sense. Okay. I am going to give this part to you, even though it's not in your spell, but I feel like I need to. Otherwise, shit's going to go crazy. It's very weak.
Okay.
It's like it's almost at the edge of the range.
Gotcha. So, not that meaningful.
When I walk in and feel that awful feeling, I just like reach into my bag and clutch my amulet really hard.
Okay.
hear your amulet, just like in the Grey Realm Rift. Taylor, you also see this too. And Peleus and Nortrude, you can see this through the heat wave. Fionnuala pulls out, she's clutching this sort of like vibrant rainbow-hued light in her hand. And that's the only thing that you two see. Taylor, it is recognizable to you. And Fionnuala, it's almost like a beacon in your hand. I want to say like a beacon of hope in this deserted, desolate place. You do feel comfort when you're clutching it.
Cool.
Does it look different from how it looked last time I saw it?
Kind of. There's a lot more drastic difference. Yeah. I mean, it may look the same, but it's way more noticeable right now.
But it should be like the same size and shape.
It's the same size and shape. Yeah. The colors are the same. It just looks way more drastic because of the place it's in.
Someday I'd like to know the story of how you got that, Fionnuala. But I won't ask right now because this is not really the place.
Yeah, it's a long story. I'll probably tell it to you at some point.
I don't think we're in any immediate threat here, but there's something kind of far off that I can tell it's there, but it's gotta be a long ways off. But keep on your toes.
Yeah, at least we can see pretty far.
I'm also gonna shift.
Out of combat or in combat?
Out of combat, just to get the scent.
Yeah, right after you shift, you get a blast of just decay smell. So,
because I shouldn't have been surprised that it smells like dead things here. Is there like a little indicator on the Mortimer of how much time we need?
Nortrude, I'm giving that up to you.
Ooh. Yeah, there's a small light that flashes, and the light starts to flash more frequently as the amount of time left decreases. So basically, once it's almost done, the light starts speeding up, and then once it's solid, then the Mortimer is done. And for stealth purposes, you can easily cover up the light if necessary.
So the lights and the whirling and stuff from the Mortimer definitely give up light. Not like the light spell, and not like John's holy light when he stepped into the Shadowfell Rift, but there are lights on it that seem to be discernible.
What does the sky look like in the Shadowfell Rift? Is it cloudy or are there stars?
Good question. You look up and it's just clouds. There's no definition in the clouds. It's just sort of like a slate, ominous, cloudy form that's above you. And you don't even know how high like the ceiling is. If we're talking about video game standards, it's just way up there. It's not like low to the ground.
Is there anything on the ground?
You're scanning the ground and it's hard rock and a thick sand, and there's no living vegetation. There's a few larger size rocks here and there, maybe some boulders around that seem to be made of this sort of like black rock.
Does it smell bad in there?
Yes. To Taylor, it smells extremely bad. To you, it's not as bad. You're like putting up with it, but it does smell a little bit like death, rot, and decay.
So it smells like death, rot, and decay in a bad way?
Not in a fresh way, you know. It's rotting body smell, okay. But it's faint. It's not like there's anything close by. It's just sort of like wafting on this air.
I don't like it, so I'm going to cast Prestidigitation and just make like a nice earthy pine tree smell in front of my face.
Okay.
I'll do it over to Taylor, too, if you want me to.
You again get blasted by a new spell, Taylor.
Taylor's going to, like, cover up his face a little bit with his, like, scarf and just kind of nod at Fionnuala. And he's going to look for, like, a smallish-sized black rock, like, not a bigger one. And he's going to throw it back through the rift at Peleus.
Okay, so it's like throwing through water surface, you know, where you're aiming is not actually where you're aiming. So you can roll the hit at a disadvantage.
I got a 9.
Peleus and Nortrude, I don't know if you guys are doing anything different, but depending on what you're doing, a black rock sails out of the Shadowfell Rift and lands at your feet, just sort of like ding ding on the floor.
I'm going to throw my trident at him.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot that I had
gonna be mad.
Brought that morning star in, so I'm going to just, like, leave it in the dirt. Like, I'm going to stand, like, the handle of it in, if there's, like, a sandy-ish, dirtish spot to make it stand up as, like, a, I don't know, symbol.
A waypoint?
A waypoint for them to go over and fall off the rim.
All right.
I'm going to inspect the rock that Taylor threw. after Peleus misses with his trident. Or hits it.
I'm not throwing my trident.
You just said you were.
I'm not going to do that.
You have to believe half the things Peleus and Jacob say.
Even that's a risky endeavor at that point.
It's not coming back.
Aaron, does Nartrud have like little sample bags and stuff and gloves?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sample bags.
Yeah, I'm taking a sample of this weird Shadowfell rock.
Or sample vials,
cool. Give
I
me
guess.
An intelligence check.
Way to be a scientist.
Well, I rolled a one, so.
Oh.
All right. With a natural one, that means you automatically fail with skill checks. You have no idea what this rock is. It's a rock, and it's different than rocks that are here, that's for sure. But you have no idea, no clue.
But that's why I'm collecting a sample to inspect later when my brain is apparently, hopefully, working.
Is the Mortimer flashing more yet?
Yeah, by now the Mortimer is about finished.
We don't see anything in the horizon or anything, do we?
Nope.
Well, when the Mortimer's done, we go back.
Okay, going back in. Taylor, I think you take one last look around, especially with your sense mm-hmm. still going off. And in the far distance, almost by like the mountain range, probably a mile away, you can see telltale signs of like shambling zombie bodies.
Can I get an assessment of like how many? Is it like a small amount or a large amount?
Give me a perception check.
Do I get advantage on that because of the shift?
You do, because it is a wisdom based. Yeah.
Well, I rolled fours on both dice, so that's an 11.
Not really, it just seems like a mass.
Okay, noted.
You guys are back through.
Grab the Mortimer and share that there's a shambling group of zombies in the far distance.
All right, well, let's go get that gunpowder.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to admire all of the elemental wall reliefs on the way back out one more time as we leave.
For the last time for anyone will be...
Oh, and can I go just kick through the ashes of that ogre, just see if there's anything left behind?
Okay, give me an investigation check.
13.
Nope, just ash.
I got ogre on my boots. Okay, I'm good.
All right, you guys leave this fire elemental chamber with all of its depictions of the elemental planes on all of the walls, and the gem eyes are still glinting in the firelight as you walk out. And you can still see the metallic glints all along each one of these paintings.
Did any of the gem eyes look loose? Like I could just like pluck it off?
Pluck at its eye.
Not unless you're going to put effort into it. You don't.
No, I think we should blow this popsicle stand. Okay. Is that what you say?
What's a popsicle?
That is what we say here, Fanula. How did you know?
What's a popsicle?
Amesley and Marion, it's pretty easy for you guys to go back to the cart, grab the gunpowder barrel, and stick it in a way, especially Amesley, like you know of a way, to dump some of it out, and...
I know how to make this explode.
Yeah, it's going to be easy. I'm not going to make you roll for it.
You okay?
Actually, not really. But I'm doing something, so I guess that's something.
I didn't want to kill him, but in that moment it became between protecting everybody in the party or my own conscience, and protecting all of you is going to come before that anything else.
I know. I mean, I completely understand. At this point, I'd rather die with the group of you than watch everyone else die in front of me, so I get it.
Well, nobody else is going to die while I'm here. I'm going to look at my back, though I gave it a pretty good go of it, I guess.
I know, you were hurting so bad.
You know, it doesn't hurt as bad as most things.
Please just let me know when you hurt so I can grab a potion. I don't have that many, but I will use them.
I'll see if
I... Don't use them on me when I don't need them, okay? Please just stop doing that.
Nah, y'all are infinitely more important than me.
I feel the same way. That's why I need you to stop doing it.
As you guys are talking, the sun begins to crest over the hills in the distance.
I made it another day.
That's all you can actually do.
Well, I wish we'd just get out of here. I think it's time. wait for them to do their damn fool experiment.
I disagree on that a little bit.
I like how they would take a soulless ball of metal over the divine favor of a god, but who am I to judge?
By that time, you guys have the gunpowder all set up and everyone is walking out of the cave.
I walk up to Amesley and say, did you get it all ready? We're all done in there. We can close it off now. I'll let you do that. I'll step back.
That's great. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. You did such a good job. Oh my gosh. Thank you.
I look embarrassed and walk somewhere away from the explodey things.
All right. It's all set up. You even have a little gunpowder line to light so that you're far enough away.
Yep.
And you're all standing there on the hill watching.
Okay.
Do you light the fuse?
Well, if that's the plan, I'll cast Firebolt at it while looking absurdly pleased.
You cast Firebolt.
I'll cast it at the fuse.
And you watch as it slowly begins to burn all the gunpowder all the way until it gets to the beginning.
Taylor's not going to watch. He's okay. Going to watch the mountain.
As the sun rises behind you guys, you just watch this massive... and... there's a concussive blast that you guys feel on your front or back if you've turned around. And there's a ton of just like dust and smoke that just fumes out into the air. And then as it settles, you see a massive chunk of this cliff face has fallen down. And there's just rubble covering the entirety of the entrance plus more. You can see that it has been fully well secured. Here for the Rolls is an original D&D adventure featuring a gentle but lethal dwarf eldritch knight, a half-orc rapping and rhyming bard, a prophetic dragonborn druid with sinus problems, and a handsome, albeit slightly naive, human cleric. This story takes place in a fully original homebrew world called Salia. Here for the Rolls can be found on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.